But they made that change to Deion before you made that transfer to USC. Would you have stayed at Colorado?
I don't know why we asking is for.
No, because I'm asking you. That's why. What you're not going to do, though, is you're not going to sit up here and give me them bullshit-ass answers, though. And no, you're going to loosen up, and you're going to act like our normal conversation. We're not going to sit up here and play TV. It's okay. What's going on? It's Keyshawn, and welcome to my show, Undisputed Presents All Facts, No Breaks. Joining me today is fellow wideout in USC, Trojan, that is. He was a second-team All-Pac-12. He is a 2024 NFL draft prospect, and he is the son of legendary Hall of Famer wide receiver Jerry Rice. What's up, Brendan?
What's up? Thank you for having me.
Man, you already spending draft money, huh? Look at them big old chains, man.
Man, you're more flashy than I ever was.
No, I'm normal, plain Jane, whatnot. Okay, but let's talk a little bit about this draft prospect, where you are in life, where you're headed, and talk about your family legacy. So you have a tattoo on your left forearm that says legacy. What does the Rice football legacy mean?
Pretty much means that success is not inherited, it's earned. So each and every day, you have to go ahead and put your best foot forward, make sure that you're doing the necessary things to go ahead and just dominate each day in and day out, because we're trying to separate what other people won't do today is what I can do tomorrow.
How long did it take you to really recognize that you, your dad, Jerry Rice, and you were connected to the point where he's probably for sure the greatest receiver to ever play, but could arguably be the greatest football player to ever play?
I knew I was connected when I already had the talent, and all I had to do was put the work ethic and match the drive that he had each day in and day out.
But when you look at Pops, and as you like to call him, some of the outfits and the dress codes that Pops wear between me and you, you know, we always tease him. You're not going down that track, I'm assuming.
I'm definitely not going down that track. I feel like his sense of style is very old.
So when you look at it, you're not Jerry Rice Jr. You got a totally different name. Last name's the same. How important is it, though, to you to kind of blaze your own trail?
I get to go ahead and create my own legacy, and that's all I ever wanted. I don't have to be in the shadows of a Jerry Rice name, or just, it just starts off with Brendan and ends with Rice. So I'm thankful for that, and I get to go ahead and create my own path.
So as a youngster, though, kind of, watching, you're so young, you didn't really get a chance to understand watching your dad play, but just being around him and understanding, okay, he's a football player. What was it like growing up with Jerry?
The criticism was crazy. So every detail down to how I release, getting in and out of routes, he's big on it, and the criticism constantly comes.
So another thing that your dad was known for was the nasal strips back in the day. You know, it was a popular thing, but now you're bringing them back. How cool will that be to see, okay, Pops, maybe y'all do a commercial together, I don't know. Pops on one end had it on, now you're going to be wearing it.
It's like the past and the present, and for me to go ahead and continue that legacy is different, because now I'm seeing these ads of my dad back in the 90s and who he was and what he did and what he brought to the game. And now I get to go ahead and make it my own legacy.
Mm. So at USC, you obviously transferred from Colorado a couple years ago to USC. You had your best, I guess you could call it your statistical season at USC last year, 12 touchdowns. Is it true, though, that Dennis Simmons and Lincoln Riley basically said, go ahead and leave the university, not because they didn't need you or want you, just because they felt that you probably could do better at the NFL level?
Coach Riley actually wanted me to come back. Dennis Simmons, on the other hand, he said, hey, it's time to leave the bird's nest. And I went with my gut, and I followed what Coach Simmons said to me.
So you started your college career at USC, I mean at Colorado, before transferring to USC. And then you look and you see what Deion was able to do in a short order, turning the program around. They didn't win, you know, they weren't bowl eligible, but they certainly was headed in the right direction. When you see what he's been able to do at Colorado, what goes through your mind?
It's crazy because I wanted to be a part of that type of program. I wanted to bring Colorado back to the top, and I felt as though that it's such a college town and it had the ability to go ahead and take the steps forward. It's just it needed a culture shock, a culture change, and Deion did just that.
If Prime was there, or if they made that change to Deion before you made that transfer to USC, would you have stayed at Colorado?
I don't know why we asking ifs for.
No, because I'm asking you. That's why.
I think I would definitely have been at Colorado just to play with Shador. I think he's a legendary quarterback. The culture there, it's a dog-eat-dog mentality, and I love that.
What you're not going to do, though, is you're not going to sit up here and give me them bullshit-ass answers, though. And no, you're gonna loosen up, and you're going to act like our normal conversation. We're not going to sit up here and play TV. It's okay. You don't have to. We don't want to play TV. We want to just, you know, it's okay. Because if I was at Colorado and we was dog shit, 1-15 or whatever it was, they was 1-10. Mm-hmm. I was 1-15 before mm-hmm. in the NFL. That was not good. And Deion came in, I 100% would have stayed. Because just like you said, Shador, he's bringing just the whole different, you know, aura to it and style and whatnot. So, you know, but now let me ask you about USC and the wide receivers. So typically my son would ask these questions, but I'm going to ask you. And I already know the number one answer, so I'm not even worried about it.
Uh-huh.
Who's your Mount Rushmore of wide receivers at USC?
Of course you have yourself. You got to put the Keyshawn Johnson.
Well, I mean, of course. That ain't even a question.
I always had to say Robert Woods was crazy, man. Kerry Colbert.
Kerry Colbert.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely see Marquise. Got to put Marquise. I'm going to go Drake London.
So me, Drake London.
Uh-huh.
Marquise.
Uh-huh.
And Robert Woods?
Yes. You don't like that one?
No.
That's the receivers I like, though.
No.
What's your Mount Rushmore?
Drake London, not even close to me.
What?
Not even close.
He was a different breed.
Not even close. Basketball player, man.
Exactly. Basketball players that can play football?
Nah, not even close.
Okay.
It's only three spots that's left. Because that one over there, that's, we already know what that is.
Yeah.
Dwayne Jarrett.
See, you never seen a dude like Johnny Martin play.
I never seen Johnny Martin.
Yeah, but Johnny Martin was ridiculous. It was a little like a year before me. I replaced J-Mo.
Better than you?
No, fool. No, that's not even a question. Mike Williams. So it would be me, Mike Williams. And if we want to go all the way back, because it's Mount Rushmore, you got to put Lynn Swann on there. Mm.
You got to put Swann. You're getting too old for me.
No. But you can't. Mount Rushmore is forever. It ain't your 3 years there and all that. You put Drake London. Man, you're going to get laughed off the show, man. Drake London. I understand you played with him and he cool and you know him and he in the NFL and all that shit. But Drake London does not have not at all. It would be me, Mike Williams, Swanee, in either Robert Woods or Dwayne Jarrett. But I love KC. KC played with me in Carolina. I've been knowing Kerry Colbert went to USC because of me. I've been knowing him ever since Oxnard. But he not, nah.
But you telling me all those guys want Blitnikoffs?
It doesn't matter about the Blitnikoff. You know why? Them dudes won national championships. Okay? I didn't win the Natty. And I didn't win the Blitnikoff. Terry Glenn won the Biletnikoff my year, but they wasn't going to give it to me because I was too, I'm me. You know what I'm saying? Them folks wasn't messing with me like that.
Yeah, you cocky.
But what's so crazy is Terry Glenn won the Biletnikoff. And so the touchdown, Columbus Touchdown Club Award in his own city for the top player in college football, I won. And then Eddie George won the Heisman, but I won Walter Camp Player of the Year. So it's like, it was all these weird deals. Plus, on top of that, only me and Swanee is on the all-century team of the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know who had the anonymous votes? Of course, me. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But no, those dudes are legit, though. If you had one more year at USC and they had an established quarterback and you were to stay, you might break some records and do some stuff.
Oh, if I stayed back with Miller Moss, I would have broke some records. I promise you that.
Yeah, I can't trust Miller Moss, though.
I'm telling you, he's going to show y'all up.
You can't. You
he's
can't.
A Clawson product.
Yeah, but you can't. I know he's a Clawson product, but still, Keyshawn, you can't trust. I'm a fifth-year receiver getting ready to go get my bag. I can't trust a dude that hadn't really done it full time. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's hard to. No, you made the right choice going to get your money. And speaking of getting your money, NFL Combine, you know, you participated in NFL Combine. You went 4-5. That's not bad for a 6'2", 200-plus-pound dude. Your vertical is trash, but that's okay. You can jump. 36, you should probably have a 38, 39.
Hey, man, I was hurt. I was hurt doing all this.
Now we're making excuses.
Just so you know, so I went to the combine and competed just because
I
wanted to be out there going against head-to-head against these guys that they think they have over me.
No, I understand. So 4-5 on the 40, 36 on the vert, 9-11 on the broad. That's not bad. It's not bad. It matches. No, I'm telling you. You know, I'm going to tell you, Brendan. It matches everything. Your 40 matches your vertical. So if you had a crazy 40 in a low vertical, in a low broad jump, then the 40, the clock is wrong. But when everything is lined up perfectly, there's nothing wrong with that. 4-5 is fast as hell.
Okay.
Man, people think, I don't know why young cats get caught up in these numbers. They really think 4-5 is slow.
Yeah, my top end speed would have beat yours for sure.
Anyway, what was your experience like?
It was a crazy, what, like 4 or 5 day experience. Man, you go there and you just feel stuck. You're going through the hospitals. You're going through all these little things, meeting with coaches. But at the same time, you got to look at situation and be like, I'm thankful. I'm blessed. A lot of people aren't here right now. A lot of people's dreams are to be here. And you got to take in that moment.
So, you know, I'm going to get back to you talking about my 40. Just because I want to talk about myself.
4-4-1.
So when you 6'4", you 222, and you clocking in the 4.4s for the money, and you do everything at the combine, and you don't run from nothing, like you said, I ain't running from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't running from nothing, not mm-hmm. a fucking thing. And you broad jump 11, and you vertical 38 and a half?
You broad jumped 11?
11. Okay. 10 something. I'm rounding it up. I'm going to give myself the nod. Okay, that's all explosiveness.
Yeah.
And then at the time when you monkey man 225 18 times just for the fuck of it, that's what make you the number one overall pick. Hey, just for the fuck of it.
The only number one overall pick.
Because you did not have to lift the 225.
Mm-hmm.
I did it. I didn't even do it at the combine. I did it at the pro day.
Mm-hmm.
Because we was in the weight room, you know, all the scouts are there, and they was alignment was lifting or whatever. And my dude, who is actually works for the Green Bay Packers still, Sammy Seal, I told Sammy, I said, come here. I said, Sammy, check this out. Got under there, just racked it up a couple times for him. I said, you want me to keep going? He's like, man, just boop, 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 boop. And locked it up at 18 and put it back on the deal. And the other dude, they were just looking, going, so just, you know, just so you know.
Yeah.
You know, so when you hear other dudes being, I don't know, man, y'all follow this shit, which is crazy to me, in mock drafts being rated higher than you. Like, the NFL Gen Stats gave you a rating of a 6.10 prospect grade. I think it's higher, stating you were a good backup with the potential to develop into a starter. When you hear that, how much does that drive you to prove people wrong?
Everybody has their own opinions.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. When we go in and we... You're not a draft pick anymore. It's mano y mano and every man for himself. And I would dare somebody to try to outcompete me.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So how much has dad help you prepare for the NFL and the draft process and all the things that you're getting ready to go through?
Man, for the most part, he likes for me to go through it on my own. He wants me to get my own perspective, my own assumptions, all that type of stuff. He wants me to learn what it takes, and what it takes is what it takes, honestly.
So when you look at the draft class, right, Marvin Harrison Jr., pretty legit. Dad Hall of Famer, legacy, neighbors at LSU, and Odunze from Washington. When you look at them three, I'm just talking about them three receivers. Mm-hmm. Because you were pretty productive. I mean, it wasn't like they put an emphasis in the air raid to get you to football.
Literally.
I mean, like, it wasn't like, oh, you the guy. They spread it around, rotate you, do all of that. When you look at that, though, and you look at those three receivers, where are you positioned? Where do you think you are with them?
I think I have similar traits with all of them. I think my production was just as good with what I was given. But, yeah, they were fed the ball a lot more, and I see why they're going so high. But, shoot, like I said, as soon as we hit that turf and we going into the league, it's every man for himself.
What's your best attribute?
Physicality.
So you got to be physical in the NFL. You can't be a pretty boy.
Hey, they soft nowadays.
I know you got the with some hazel eyes and all that. You got the pretty eyes. Can't hey, man, be that way.
You was just messing with your hair just a second ago.
No, because my hair, I had to make sure it was right before I went on camera. You talk about pretty and doing all those things. My producers got some outfits they want to show. I guess you're supposed to be this big fashion dude or whatnot coming into the games. So I don't know. I mean, talk to me. What are we wearing there?
Man, so we got the Louis Vuitton shoes, the Louis Vuitton hoodie, got the Louis Vuitton duffel bag, got a chain showing a little bit, chest, you feel me? That's something Keyshawn Johnson would do back in his day.
I know.
Let's take a look at it.
Let's take a look. Dad, we got your draft day outfit back in 1996. Brendan, what do you think about this?
Oh, hey.
You not rocking with that?
No, I'm not liking that.
What you?
Okay. I'm sorry, big dog.
So wait.
You was the number one overall pick wearing that? You could have came harder.
First of all, it's 1996. Okay, so it's a silk pinstripe suit with Versace gold buttons, alligator belt with alligator shoes. So you got to go back in the day now. This was fucking fire. Ridiculous. Like, if you go and you look at any of these suits or this air, that's the shit.
So
and
everything's oversized?
That, yeah, everything's oversized. Okay. Everything is just, you know what I'm saying? Nobody really had a three-quarter coat. Man, that shit fresh as, man, you lost your damn mind. On top of that, man, pull that, play that, bring that back one more time for me. Let me show him something. I want him to
bring
see.
Bring it back up. Yeah
bring it back up. From an accessory standpoint,
uh-huh.
The watch alone.
Okay.
The watch alone is worth more than it's in your entire bank account your rookie year.
What was that watch worth?
Just put it this way. Worth more.
What was it? You don't even remember.
Man, it's a Rolex rose gold. Now, we're talking about 96. They didn't make rose golds back then. Rose gold, you couldn't see. It was so fucking iced out that if I dropped it in water, it would freeze it.
See, I don't ice out my watches.
No. But back then,
That's what you did.
That's what everybody did.
That's a waste
did.
Of money.
Yeah, that's what everybody did, though. You imagine, can you imagine? You're talking about wasting money. Man, I'm from South Central Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I starved to death to play football. I ain't grow up with no money. The moment I got my first check, I'm buying something.
What was the first NFL purchase?
The first NFL purchase?
Yeah, when you got that check, that bonus.
What car?
No, I already had a whip, though. I had a Porsche before I got that. I bought the 911 when I was in college.
Yeah, straight USC stuff?
No. I was finishing school, and I bought the Porsche. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I bought the Porsche. Was my first purchase, but I was just going into it. It was the summer. But prior to that, I got the Adidas check right after the Rose Bowl because I signed with Adidas right after the Rose Bowl. And I bought your mom a 535 BMW.
Uh-huh.
And I bought my mother a Volvo. because I still had my Honda. I didn't even buy a car. Yeah, those were my purchases, but not for my NFL check. That was a purchase for my shoe contract.
Brandon, you got a first purchase you're thinking of?
A house. Just about that. Invest in some real estate.
Yeah, that's smart. Once I got one. And so then I bought my mom her crib leading up into the draft because they had to build it. I had to put the money down, all that sort of stuff. So really the first real big purchase was the crib. Mm-hmm. That was off the rip. I can't believe he tried to smash on my suit.
Man. You still didn't tell me the name of that Rolex.
It was a presidential, but it was iced all the way out.
Oh.
My shit didn't come from a jewelry store putting the diamonds in it. My shit came from Rolex. It was made from Rolex. My diamonds are original Rolex diamonds, not some shit you get from downtown jewelry store.
Oh, that's crazy. No, ain't none of that.
No, it was way different.
Yeah,
it came from Geneva. Mm-hmm. It was real.
Moving to NFL news, the Chicago Bears shocked the free agency world this weekend by trading Justin Fields to the Steelers for a 6th-round pick. With the Steelers just acquiring Russell Wilson, which quarterback gives Pittsburgh the best chance to win in 2024? Dad, we'll start with you.
Well, I personally think that they hit on both ends of the spectrum. You get a free look at Justin Fields, who's there. And if I'm them, I'm picking up his 5th-year option and paying him that $25 million. And I got a veteran dude that's a bridge for the next couple years until Justin is ready. Justin's only 25 years old. So in the end, I'm starting with Russell Wilson. If anything goes wrong, I got a guy who's played 3 years in the National Football League that the Chicago Bears certainly should have never fucking got rid of. Never. But that's on them. If they was going to draft one of these quarterbacks, Brennan, they should have just drafted Caleb if that's what they was going to do. Or they should have drafted Jaden. That's what they're going to do. At the end of the day, you got them both on your roster. The San Francisco 49ers had Steve Young and Joe Montana. The Dallas Cowboys had Steve Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
After they took Troy Aikman in the first round, then the next year, they take Steve Walsh. And then eventually they battled and he traded Steve Walsh. I mean, it's been done before. I don't know what. Chicago tripped. They tripped out.
Brenda, what do you think?
I know you have a little vendetta against Caleb, man.
I ain't no vendetta. It's just, I'm telling you real facts.
Nah, for real.
He's a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't give a damn
what
nobody
says. He's a great quarterback.
Yeah, in college he was a great one of Heisman. That's just fine. Mm. The NFL is different.
And he gonna go ball out in the
he
NFL.
He might go ballistics. But so was those four dudes that got drafted a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
and ain't none of them on the same team. All of them. And Trevor Lawrence might be the next one on the way out after right. this year. So when you look at Zach Wilson, Justin, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, they was all supposed to be doing this and that. The league is just different.
Yeah, I hear you. They could have definitely kept Justin Fields, but at the same time, you might as well clear house and make way for Caleb. Justin Fields going to the Steelers situation, though, man, if I'm behind Russell Wilson, I'm trying to take his spot. I don't care how old of a vet he is, how long he's been in the league. People already counted you out. You got to go take it for yourself now.
You know, what's so wild, man? I've been doing this television stuff 18 years now, longer than I played. I only played 11, left the game, didn't want to do it no more. Wasn't chasing your dad like a lot of damn fools be chasing him and they ain't going to catch him because he played forever. They be playing forever, man. I ain't doing
That's
it.
Not happening.
No, it's not going to happen. This, I don't know, I don't want to call it generation, but this new last 10-year type players, man, if somebody don't say, oh, he's the greatest. First thing y'all say, oh, man, you don't like him. It's not that I don't like Caleb. I like Caleb. I just prefer something else. Like, I prefer Jaden Daniels.
You like Jaden Daniels?
I like Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
I do.
I've seen both.
But you may not, and somebody else may not. But I also have seen them both up close in person. I've seen Jaden Daniels struggle, and I've seen Caleb struggle. But I've seen them both play well. They both won Heismans. One did it in the weak-ass Pac-12 with them sorry-ass defenses, and another one did it in the SEC.
Where did you play?
With strength. Yeah, but it was different then when I played. It was different. No, Pac-12 was way different. It wasn't the same. It was just a different style. Like, there was no such thing as an air raid when I played.
Well, skills everywhere.
Yeah.
It's the trenches that are different.
Yeah. Our trenches was different then.
So let's.
Dude, our trenches were different. Are you crazy?
No. No. But the DBs were the same, correct?
The DBs, I'm trying to think, the DBs were okay. Just from my era alone, mm-hmm. my 2 years in college at USC, just when you talk about the trenches, I just go at the left tackle spot. Jonathan Ogden was the left tackle at UCLA, Hall of Famer. Tony Boselli, Hall of Famer at USC, left tackle. That's just those spots.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy Bruschi at Arizona. Just Washington and Washington State's defenses. Washington State defense was ranked, both years I was in college, they was ranked number one in the country. Lights out. They had a cold defense. So did Washington. Arizona was a nickname, the Desert Swarm. So you remember?
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about it, it's just different now because they throw the ball all over the place. We had linemen and linebackers. Some of the DBs were questionable, I would say. I don't think we had great secondary play across the board from front to back, where it's probably a little bit better now than it's been in the Pac-12. But, you know, I just like Jaden Daniels better. That's all. But I'm never supposed to say that. I'm supposed to just pump Caleb up because he went to USC.
To each his own, man. That's my quarterback. You know, I'm riding with him.
Don't say that's my quarterback. I heard that before.
That's my quarterback.
That's that T.O. sound.
Yeah.
Well, Brendan, RG3 thinks your former quarterback should pull an Eli Manning on draft day. Take a listen.
Caleb Williams should pull a Eli Manning and demand that the Chicago Bears do not draft him number one overall. After everything that's happened with just Justin Fields, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? This is the organization that has my best interest at heart, and they're going to help develop me into the player that I want to become. Caleb Williams is on record saying that he wants to be legendary. He wants to rewrite history, and he wants to be the best that he can possibly be and win the most games he can possibly win. After the Bears took Justin Fields, the 11th pick in the draft, and turned him into a sixth round pick in the 2025 draft by trading him to the Pittsburgh Steelers? Can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? Yeah, this organization is going to help get me where I want to go. I don't think it's saying that.
Dad, as a former number one overall pick, do you think it would be smart for Caleb Williams to demand a trade from the Bears?
You know, it's two things that I look at in this situation. Yeah, he could pull an Eli Manning, but he ain't the Mannings. That's number one.
See?
That's number one. He's not. His dad ain't Archie, and his brother ain't Peyton. That so he could try it, but in the National Football League, the one thing that the 32 owners are not going to allow you to do is bully them. You got to think about it. They not letting no brother tell them what the fuck to do. Ain't going to happen. Just not going to happen. That's the reality of it. The Mannings is a little different because their dad played in the league. The brother was there. A little bit different. I'm just telling you this. Now, should he do it? If he doesn't really truly want to play there and he told them that he didn't want to play there and he wasn't going to sign the contract and he wasn't going to do all this and that and he became very difficult, then they're not going to draft him. I promise you that. You know, John Elway didn't want to play for the Baltimore Colts, but John Elway could play for the New York Yankees. Caleb can't say, I'm going back to school, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, because he ain't, what other options he got?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, at the end of the day, going to Chicago is a beautiful thing. If he can play there and he can win there, they've been starving for a quarterback forever. They just got rid of a guy that was the 11th pick of the draft that they moved up to get. That was having a good season last year and learning under his third offensive coordinator and second head coach. So imagine the pressure that Caleb is going to be going to Chicago with. And if they don't win, they're going to point to him. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't want to do that and he want to go to, let's say, the Commanders, then he can go in there, walk in there and see what happens. Go on, go tell him, see what happens.
Brendan, what kind of teammate and player is he, you think?
He's a dynamic guy. Off rip, he's going to battle each day in and day out. I have full trust in him because I've had to go ahead and be a follower of him, and he's led us time and time again, brought us back to earth, even in the Arizona game when we were, down a touchdown or something like that, and he rallied us together. That's the type of guy that you want to go out on the battlefield with and go play with and play for. So I don't see him going ahead and pulling one of those Eli Mannings. I think he's going to go stick out the situation and ball out in the beautiful city of Chicago because that's who he is.
Yeah, if he did his work in Chicago, it'll be his town. And right now, they still live in the glory years of Michael Jordan.
And they got all the receivers.
Well, now they got weapons that they decided to part ways with a quarterback that they drafted and did not develop.
Weapons.
Like, come on, man. They going to get fired if they win less than 10 games.
Oh, yeah.
They going to all be gone.
Oof. So Aaron Donald announced on Twitter that he was retiring from the NFL after 10 seasons. Dad, where do you rank Aaron Donald all time? We got to talk all time. He's all time
at the
great.
Position?
Period.
Oh, God, man.
Let's go position.
Oh, well, then he's going to be one of the top four defensive tackles ever played.
I give him three.
Top four.
Yeah.
The top four defensive tackle ever played.
Mm-hmm.
And he, and in terms of the defensive side of the ball, he probably one of the top six or so to ever play on the defensive side of the ball. In terms of players, there's so many players that played in the league. It's just hard. That's why I pared it down to just defense. You know, it unblockable, can't block him no matter who you put on him. Strong, powerful, quick, fast, can change directions, accelerate, all of the different things, a quiet leader. I mean, you know, smart though.
Mm-hmm.
He got up out of the air at the perfect time, played long enough. Like, what else is there to accomplish? He already won the Super Bowl, played in two. Three-time defensive player of the year. Made a ton of shit ton of money. Like, what else is there to do? You're going to the Hall of Fame. Like, keep playing, just be playing.
I want more Super Bowl rings.
Man.
My own perspective.
It's hard. People like your dad, lucky. People like Tom Brady, lucky.
Lucky.
Lucky, man. You got to have that luck to get one.
Okay, I get you
get
with Jerry.
One.
But Tom
Not
Brady?
Not even Jerry. Just Tom. Anybody that have multiple Super Bowl rings, man, one. Man, it's a luck. Remember, it's only 17 games now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's hard. Think about Philip Rivers, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Philip Rivers played his entire career with the Chargers, except that one year in Indy. Never got a ring. Never smelt the Super Bowl. Didn't even smell it.
Yeah.
Came close to one year. Guess who he had to run into? New England.
Mm-hmm.
In Foxborough with a tore ACL. So when I say luck, man, it's pure luck. I think people get it confused. They think because Tom Brady went to 11 and won 7 that it's a bowl of fucking rings like M&Ms. You just grab them and pass them out. Man, it's hard as hell.
But I wouldn't call that lucky because
you have to have luck in it.
Heck nah.
How could you
because
not?
Because he went, it wasn't only at Foxborough he did that. He went all the way to Tampa
and built it. Okay, so when you say luck, you mentioned Tampa. Here's how it becomes the luck of the draw. Doesn't mean he didn't contribute to it. You go to a team that had a quarterback who was blind, basically, throwing 30 interceptions to the other team. You cut that down in half, they're going to win more games. Not only that, you inherit a defense in Todd Bowles at that time was a lights-out defense. You then go and you recruit Gronkowski and AB to come join you and Leonard Fournette. And it all meshed together at the right time during a pandemic. You win it. That's luck. Let's go all the way back to the snow game that I was at when your dad played for the Raiders. I was at that game. We lost in the playoffs to Philadelphia. I wind up going to watch the game in Foxborough because I'm friends with Belichick and them. They have to, Tuck Rule comes, Charles Woodson comes off the edge, Brady fumbles. They say, no fumble, incomplete pass, ball going forward. The ball wasn't going forward, but that's fine. Now, out of Vinatieri, in a snowstorm, the worst snowstorm that hit Foxborough in like forever, man, he kicked the damn ball through the uprights. That's a little bit of luck.
No, that's some luck. I agree.
That's all I'm saying. I can go through every single Super Bowl. I can bypass some other Super Bowls that he played in and talk about the Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl. Atlanta blew a 20-something point lead. Julian Edelman, ball bouncing around, he dives on it. Man, there ain't no damn
that was
luck.
Crazy. Mm-hmm.
But it's not discrediting it. I'm just saying, you have to be lucky to win championships, but you got to be good. But you got to have some luck on your side, too. That's not a bad thing, though. That's all.
Brendan, is there a guy in the league that you look forward to going against?
You got the Pastor Tans, the Sauce Gardeners, the J.C. Horns. There's a whole plethora. Even Christian Gonzalez, one of my old teammates. And shoot,
the best.
Oh, yeah, the best. You going to run from competition?
I hear you.
Okay, talk that shit then, man. I ain't putting no bullseye on you. You doing it.
You got any receivers that you mimic your game after in the NFL?
Brendan Rice.
Beautiful. Oh, okay. That's what I like to hear. So, new Ravens acquisition, Derrick Henry, stated that the Cowboys never reached out during free agency. Take a listen.
Did Dallas pick up the phone? Were they involved in the Derrick Henry sweepstakes?
Dallas didn't even, not at all. I don't really know what's going on over there, but no, they weren't Nick and Tim. Baltimore was showing the most interest, and you know, somewhere I wanted to be. I was glad that we got it done, but the Cowboys never called at all.
Dad, the Cowboys are having a pretty quiet free agency. Was it a mistake not offering Derrick Henry?
You know, they got a certain philosophy that they use. They've never really been big free agent type owners, organization. Everybody thinks that because they went out in free agency and got Deion Sanders, there ain't no Deion in free agency. It's just not, right? It's just not. Derrick Henry probably could have helped them, but they're just not big free agency guys. It's just, you look at it, they acquired Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore via trade last year. They did not go out and sign them in free agency. That's just not something that, I don't know if they believe in it or they like to build through the draft and trades. That's what the Cowboys like to do. So I'm not, look, he to me, it's a better fit for him to be in Baltimore than to be in Dallas anyway. He just fits what Baltimore wants to do, running the football. Dallas, they getting ready to pay a quarterback a couple hundred million. They're going to try to throw the ball. They're not paying a quarterback a couple hundred million to hand it to Derrick Henry. They're just not going to do it. That's not their style.
Yeah. Brandon, is there an NFL team that you've always wanted to play for?
Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, don't look
come
like
on,
that.
Man. Why are you doing all that? The team that wants me the most, man. Situation.
God, here we go.
The situation I'm going to go into and benefit off of, not one that is going to have me go in there and expect me to be a number two. I'm not coming to play number two. I'm coming to take number one.
Okay. All right, you're going to be the number one receiver.
Who was the team that was your, like, growing up, though? Who was the team for you? You had a team?
Arizona Cardinals.
No. Why are you trying to put that on me, man? I was a dirty, snot-nosed Raiders guy, man.
Okay.
So he asked you about the team. I'm asking you about the coast. Which coast would you rather play on, the East or the West?
I feel like football on the East Coast might be just a little bit better.
You rather play on the East Coast?
It's cold over there. But like Florida, I go to Florida.
You go to Florida?
I go to Florida.
Florida would be, Miami, Jacksonville, Tampa.
Tampa. Well, if I was on the West Coast, then shoot. Stay in Cali, maybe. Any one of the three teams.
Rams, Chargers. There's only, Niners.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that the Niners would be a best option.
You don't want to do that, huh?
Yeah.
You don't want to do that?
No, I do, but at the same time, it's like, you know, my pops already created a legacy over there, man. I'm trying to create mine.
Then they would be talking about he needs to wear number 80 and all that, huh?
Yeah, I'm not going for that. If they drafted me, I'm not wearing 80.
You got a number in mind?
Two, my own number.
Yeah, we saw you wore that USC, all that. So,
mm-hmm.
But I know both of you, we both have the feeling of being the son of a former NFL wide receiver. Here's a clip of you explaining your experience.
I'm Jerry Rice's son. Of course, everybody always tells me I look just like him. I don't even see the resemblance. I'm Jerry Rice's son. Of course, everybody always asks me for an autograph from my dad. Why not mine? I'm Jerry Rice's son. Of course, every time my dad texts me, he ends the sentence with a goat emoji. I'm Jerry Rice's son. Of course, everybody always assumes that I'm rich, but my dad's a stingy farmboy from Mississippi. I'm Jerry Rice's son. Of course, everybody always asks me, did I catch bricks growing up? I'm Jerry Rice's son. Of course, every time I buy a new chain or anything like that, my dad gets really mad at me and says I'm trying to be like the other flashy NFL athletes.
Man, I felt that TikTok way too much, bro. What would you say is the best advice your dad has given you throughout this draft process?
You got to stay within the moment. Don't let the moment get too big. If you go ahead and stay within the moment, I'm pretty sure you'll capture what just what you're looking for.
Wait, did Jerry really tell you that you like the rest of these dudes wearing flashy chains?
Yeah.
Did he look in the mirror?
He hates, because he got that big old 49ers.
No, not only that, Jerry wore chains when he played, hoop earrings and shit. Come on, Jerry.
Man, he don't.
You know, I tell you what I said. Come on, Jerry. You messing with the little one and you run around with a hoop earring in.
Yeah, he gets mad at me, man. He gets mad at me. I always ask Pops, you go in with me on this chain? He don't be going for it at all.
No, because he got the old soul. You know, he grew up
that
differently.
Mississippi farm boy.
Yeah, no, it was always, I remember having the opportunity to play against him for the first time after he came back off his ACL. We played the 49ers when I was with
ACL?
The Jets. Yeah, he tore his ACL. He tore his ACL in, this was in 97, I believe, he tore his ACL. And we played him, I feel like we played him in 98. Yeah, I feel like we played. No, it might have been 99. Whatever year it was, 98 or 99, we wound up playing him in San Francisco. And so that was the first time I ever played against him and whatnot. And he came, Jerry came running out the tunnel, everybody going crazy. I'm like, okay. I'm going to watch this. He got down, though. He ran a shallow cross. And at this time, they had a baseball infield at the old stadium at Candlestick. It was still, I guess it was still baseball season because it was opening day. And he caught a shallow cross. Motherfucker stopped on a dime in the dirt and shot back across the field, boom, into the end zone. I was like, oh yeah, he healthy again.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, some shit. Jerry was special.
Brendan, in your opinion, what are the similarities and differences between you and your dad's game?
I feel as though we got the same running technique, man. Ability to stop on a dime, I'm going to have to get that to him and Keyshawn. I got to go ahead and pick up on that. But just that deep threat, I feel as though I stretch the field at all times, and people are going to have to respect that.
Yeah, Jerry, I would say you're more physical.
Mm-hmm.
You're more physical. Jerry just wasn't his deal. His deal was, I'm going to catch the ball, and I'm going to work you. Then I'm going to run a route, and I'm going to make you fall. Because he made a lot of dudes fall. I'm sure you watched and studied a lot of tape on him, but shit, some of the shit he used to do is just like bonkers. I'm like, damn. You know, and when you look at it, see, when you talk about like luck, for instance, the man plays with Joe Montana.
Steve Young.
Joe Montana's pushed to the side. He goes, plays with Steve Young. Then he leaves and gets Rich Gannon when he goes to the Raiders. I'm like, damn,
you got Sean
just
King.
Get me, what you say?
You got Sean King.
Yeah, man, stop, man. We're not even getting ready to do all that. I don't feel like listening to Sean King tweet and talk shit and do.
Shout
you know,
out Sean.
You know,
what's
when
up
you
with
say,
Sean, man?
No, but you know, when you say something about somebody, you know how y'all are. Y'all weak-minded.
Are y'all scared?
And so as soon as you say something about somebody and you don't give them their credit or you be like, yeah, I wish I would have had, they get mad. You know what I'm saying? They don't know how to. You know, it was Jerry Rice a better receiver than me? You goddamn right he was. I'm not mad. I don't care. My career is complete. But guys in professional sports, and you'll learn this as you continue to be in that locker room with dudes, you're going to see dudes that it's gonna be mind-boggling. Things that they go through, they say, or they worry about, you're like, they paying you $30 million and you worried about somebody who's a jackass is talking about on Twitter or X or whatever the things are y'all use, TikTok and IG. What's the other one y'all do? Snapchat.
I know you be on all of that too.
No, I don't have, ask my son. I don't have none of that.
No Twitter?
I don't have it on my phone.
Uh-huh.
He has it.
I have it, but I don't have it.
Okay, I respect that.
Yeah, I don't need to listen to negativity and comments and sit up all night long doing this shit while I'm trying to go to bed. Why? Why? It's not even worth it. If one advice I could tell you, it throughout my career, is one thing I didn't do was worry about what the fuck other people said. Because they ain't living in my shoes. So I can never worry about that. I can't worry about if I was a bust, a bum, or this or that. I'm like, you know, they don't need to snap back. There's no need to. You could never do what I did. Of course you can't.
I'm sure you weren't a bust.
No, but I don't pay. You can't listen to people. You know what I'm saying? Because they'll tell you, you know, they'll tell you, oh, you not good or you not this. And some people can't handle that. And it gets seeps in their mind. And they start doubting themselves. You know, you drop a ball, motherfucker sitting in the stands, he going to swear up and down, you the worst than ever. But he can't even get on the field.
Yeah.
He don't even know how to lace up cleats. He's a fan for a reason. So I refuse. I used to tell my son all the time, man, don't pay the motherfucking people no attention. They're miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the advice I would give you. Don't pay them people no attention, man.
Yeah.
Don't pay them no attention at all.
The battle between Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul is on July 20th. Let's watch this clip of Iron Mike training for the fight.
One more. Day three. You still want to fuck with me?
So are you guys watching the fight, and are you guys giving Jake Paul any chance against Mike Tyson?
Oh, for sure. I'm going to watch it. And Keyshawn, seriously? You really, honestly?
I got him.
You really got who?
Jake Paul.
Oh. Man, you got life fucked up, boy. You on some internet, social media stuff. Man, please,
man. I'm not going to let it happen.
Mike Tyson going to beat the shit out this dude. Man, Mike Tyson not about to let some YouTube, is YouTube you on?
Yeah.
Some internet YouTube dude beat him. I'm not fighting Jake Paul because I'm not a boxer. So I ain't worried about it. Mike Tyson, on the other hand, he's not about to, not even close. He's not about to let this
round
dude
one,
beat
round
him.
Round two or what?
I don't know what round it's going to be, and I don't know if it's going to be a knockout. But he's going to beat the shit out of him. I can promise you that.
Hey, Keyshawn, you know what Mike Tyson used to do to people?
Man, please.
Clearly not, I guess.
We used to bite people's ears off, man. You think you want to fight that dude?
No, so I had dinner with Mike several years ago. We were at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And I'm talking to him. And I'm scared to talk to him. No, this real talk. I don't even want to talk to him. You know what I'm saying? Oh. I'm like, nah, man, uh-uh. Because it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
It just feels bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just feels like something bad going to happen here if you say something that's not right.
Hey, you know Keyshawn, he over here start shit talking. It might be over with.
No, it ain't even shit talking, nothing like that. It's just, I know what that is. And I know that ain't right. See, I done followed him all the way from basically since he started boxing. And yes, he might be 57 years old, but it's just like anything, it's muscle memory. And when you take it serious and he decides, don't look at the Roy Jones Jr. fight from several years ago when he got back in the ring with that one, Keyshawn. That didn't, he could have probably really dominated the fight, but he was just in there. This one, I think he's a lot, he just looks different in the early stages versus when he fought Roy Jones and he was much younger. Man, I'm telling you, I understand you like that YouTube and looks crazy.
I feel like the age is a big difference.
No, he got followers and y'all all into all that. Them followers ain't going to be able to help his ass in Texas, I promise you.
Brandon, I know nobody that guarded your dad can guard you right now.
For sure not.
I think it's the same way with this.
Nobody who guarded his dad can guard him right now?
No.
Yeah, they're too old.
No, too old. But the thing is, this is your livelihood as in boxing. When you go a man like mano y mano, bro, you get in the ring, like you trying to protect yourself.
I hear you.
But you got to also think about being in shape. He's getting in shape for this. If those dudes that played when we played was focused in and got in shape and said, oh, okay, I'm getting in shape, I'm a ball.
They couldn't
out.
Guard him.
No.
Man, I'm telling you.
No.
Okay. You keep on thinking.
Even a Deion right
you
now.
You keep thinking that dudes don't prepare, and they just, because of their age, they not 60. Some of the dudes like Champ Bailey and them, they're a little bit older. And I'm thinking younger toward the end guys, not when Jerry first started. Some of them dudes can't even walk, but I'm talking about them Champ Baileys of the world. If they was in shape, they might be able to do something.
No.
No?
No. Without a doubt, no. Now, I'm going to say this. For a guy that's, like, always staying in shape, like Ocho Cinco, I think Ocho Cinco could be number three or four receiver in today's game, maybe somewhere. If he's in shape, yes, really like
yes,
that.
Yes.
But that's a receiver. You can go and do that as a receiver.
Oh, you can do that as a DB if you stay in shape.
The DB don't know our routes.
But if those dudes stayed in shape.
You know what these guys are doing these days?
Man, they fucking running wide open and not being touched.
Guys are 215, 220 at corner. Running 4.3s.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, if they stayed in shape, it's a couple dudes out there. I think they probably could still mess around. Yeah, Ocho Cinco probably could. I even think T.O. it could probably still be somebody 3-4. I still think he could, but obviously they'll never give him a shot because that's just the league. When they done with you, they done with you. But I thought
Dez Bryant could stay in the league.
But they done with you. Mm-hmm. When they make a decision that they don't want to deal with you no more, they just done with you. They don't look at it. When you get to a certain age, they like, even though dudes can still play, they mm-hmm. be like,
so what about you? Did you get pushed out or you just quit?
Yeah, I played 11 years. What the fuck am I playing football for?
Oh, you was tired of your quarterback situation. Yeah.
He's always playing Donald.
I played with 18 different quarterbacks in 11 years.
That's crazy.
Okay, still did wonders. Balled out, did a whole lot of stuff. In the end, what am I chasing? I've been to Pro Bowls. I've been to the Super Bowl. I won the Super Bowl. I put up numbers, early success.
You won a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I won a Super Bowl, yeah. Went to two championship games, won the Super Bowl in Tampa. Tampa. Yeah, we beat the Raiders. We beat your dad and them.
Yeah, yeah.
What is there to play for me? Like I said to you earlier, some people chase gold jackets. I chase the money for my mother and my kids and my brothers and sisters to uplift them out the ghetto. That's what I play.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't play to be chasing Jerry Rice. I ain't fucking doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dudes be, oh, I'm going to catch Jerry. No, you not. You not catching Jerry Rice. You can play as long as you want to. Ain't going to fucking happen. That's the truth. Ain't going to happen. But my personal satisfaction was getting a check. You know, and as long as I was dedicated, I was going to get a check. It's fine. I was like, I'm done playing, sitting in the meetings, at 30 plus years old, listening to them talk to you about shit that I already know, I don't want to go through install again.
You don't think a person like Justin Jefferson could go chase him? I mean, sure, he's had a hell of a start of a career.
Nah, he ain't going to catch him. Your father got like 22,000 yards.
Okay, what if he plays 20 years?
Man, nobody plays 20-something years.
And that'd be 1,000 every year. That's like, yeah.
Your father's got like Mike Evans. Not going to catch him.
Okay, well, he's not going to catch him, but...
He's not going to catch
him.
He's
been having 1,000 for what? The past 7?
10 years straight.
10 years, yeah.
But he ain't going to catch him.
Yeah.
Because he got to play... Your father had 4 careers in the National Football League. And when I say 4, I'm talking about use it in quarters. Don't look at the 10 and the 10.
Because
in the National Football League, I think 3.5 to 4 years is the average of an NFL player. Your dad had 4 careers. Man, that shit don't happen. No, hell no. And Mike Evans is a good player, but he's not going to catch him. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, they're not getting ready to catch him. Your father got like 200 and something touchdowns.
I'm going to give Justin Jefferson the benefit of the doubt.
Man, you not even close. You have no idea. You have zero idea. Again, I'll tell you another thing.
The fact that he did it in such a short season, that
doesn't,
was crazy.
Doesn't matter. Your dad... With you tripping for real. Like you really tripping. You tripping, man.
Maybe I'm just young, man. Shoot.
No, I'm telling you the truth though. Think about it. Dude over 200 touchdowns. I think he got like 23,000 yards. I want to say he got like 1,500 catches, somewhere like that.
Yeah.
Come on, man. That shit don't even make no sense. You know? And his old ass was hanging on in Denver. With them raggedy ass braids, I said to tell Jerry, man, come on, Jerry. But you got the braids and extensions and shit in your hair. Oh, man, leave me alone. You know how he talk?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Come on, guys, stop.
Come on, guys.
Come on, guys. I had fun when we played in the Super Bowl. I had a lot of fun. That was my guy growing up, though.
Oh, you ever been out with him?
We went to dinner not the night before, but during Super Bowl week when we played him in San Diego. We went to dinner for a short period of time. You know,
I hear stories about how he used to get down, man.
Everybody had fun, man. Leave it alone. Anyway, before he gets into trouble, that's a wrap for today's show. Thanks again to Brendan Rice, Jerry Rice's little one, joining the show. Don't forget to subscribe and follow All Facts Pod on social media. Until then,
Deuces.